We continue to remember September 11, 2001, and we've talked, Patty, a lot about what happened in New York City. We now shift our attention to what happened in our nation's capital at the Pentagon, where American Airlines Flight 77, after leaving Washington Dulles Airport, did a U-turn and crashed into the Pentagon at 9:37 a.m. And joining us now, a good friend of the show, Mr. Rick Lee, who happened to be in Washington, D.C. And Rick, you were at Reagan International Airport when everything happened.
Yeah, that's correct. I was just arriving at the airport, Terminal D. You may remember U.S. Air was a big carrier up to D.C. at that time from Charlotte. And, of course, in those times, everybody would run quickly to get out or find a phone booth where they could make calls. And I came out through security and turned left to head down to try to get a rental car and looked up and saw a TV screen in one of those little shops that sell newspapers. You remember what those are like.
Oh, yeah.
And saw the picture of one of the towers on fire. And people were gathering around the screen to try to figure out what was going on because, really, we had no information.
Yeah, you'd been on a plane.
We'd been on a plane. And then it was only a few minutes of watching and trying to learn on the screen what was happening when the plane went into the Pentagon. And that's not too far from the airport. And the smoke that was coming up from there was we could see it and smell it, and we knew that there was something calamitous that had happened. And there were jets overhead that were going supersonic, and there was a buzz in the airport, people getting kind of high-strung and panicked about what exactly is going on. And it was shortly thereafter that the security personnel got the order, I think, to vacate the airport and get everybody out. So people were told by the armed personnel who were there, leave the airport now. What about our luggage? Leave the airport. That's your instruction. So I don't know how many people are in Reagan at a busy hour, but there've got to be 5 or 10,000. And so you can envision this movement, mass movement of people just out the doors, across the parking lots, through the shrubbery. There to Pentagon City, we're right adjacent to US 1. So all this traffic coming out of the airport jammed up US 1. There were no buses available, no taxis, no trains. I tried to get a rental car, but when I got to the desk, everybody had abandoned ship and was headed out of the airport. So it was quite a challenging time. Fortunately, I was able to run into a guy who had a Dodge minivan, if you can remember Dodge.
Mm-hmm. And, thank goodness.
So he offered a seat, and I said, thank you very much, and got in the van with him. Didn't know who he was from Adam. And then we picked up another six people, including a lady who was in a wheelchair. And so this little minivan was packed with people looking for a place to go.
Wow.
And I was concerned because it was unclear which airplanes had crashed. And so I decided it was time to try to let my family know that I was okay, because I had had a near miss once before with the Eastern Airlines when it crashed in Charlotte. And so trying to get out on a cell phone, I was unable to, but there was one guy there who had a phone that would make connections. The system essentially was overwhelmed by the number of cell phone calls people were trying to make. So I tried calling home, no answer, couldn't get an answer. So I knew there was only one shot left with this cell phone to try to get contact made. So instead of calling home, I called my good friends at WRHI. And I asked Manning Kimmel, please contact my wife and tell her I was not in the plane and that I'm fine and I'm trying to find my way home, but it'll be a while before I get there.
Rick, you had mentioned that the roads were at a standstill. I think you said you went to Alexandria, Virginia. It took you, 8 to 10 hours? And that's what, normally a 20-minute, 30-minute drive from D.C.?
It was about 8 hours all day to get down there. You know, you can imagine all these people on the road, plus the cars, everybody's trying to run different directions. Nobody knows exactly which direction they should go. And it was just stopped.
Yeah.
That's all you can say. But I will tip my hat to the people of Washington, D.C. and Alexandria, because it was a warm day and we were all in our cars and nobody could stop for a Coca-Cola and a sandwich or anything. So people were coming out of the buildings along the highway, which was almost a local road that day, but they're coming, US 1, they were coming out and giving people bottles of water so they could have something to drink while they were waiting for hours in the traffic.
I love that they were giving it.
Yeah, there was it was freebie.
You know, it was. This is a common theme that we're hearing this morning. People were really coming together, and even maybe it was because we all felt so helpless, not knowing what was going on, that we tried to help where we could. Yeah. That seems to be a common theme that I keep hearing this morning.
Well, there wasn't an easy way to get home from up there because they shut down the airports and the skies. And, of course, what rental cars were available were pretty much gone. I did find a truck when I got down to Alexandria and rented that and then went up north a little ways and got a room and spent the night because I wasn't sure what was going on.
What a day.
And so eventually I wound up driving back to Rock Hill. And I went by the airport on my way home just to see what it looked like. And it was so eerie. There wasn't a single person visible at the airport. It was like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
And tumbleweeds and zombies. I mean, it just there was no commercial activity underway at all at that airport.
They're like, where are all the people?
Yeah.
Rick, when you finally got a chance to have to speak with your family, well, you know, what did your wife have to say to you, you know, from not being able to hear from you for so long?
Well, she told me about what she was doing while this was ongoing with the towers on fire and so forth, and she had the kids all with her. We had four little ones at that point who've since grown up to be adults, but she was sitting in the bed upstairs with all four kids around her watching a television. The lady who lived behind us had a little portable black and white with a small screen, and they were watching what was happening on that little screen because we didn't have TV in our house at that time.
Okay.
So that we encouraged the kids to read more. But any case, that's what she was doing, and it was a big relief, she said, to hear from Manning and WRHI to know that I was still up and running.
You didn't have TV, but you had radio.
We always had radio.
And you had friends at local stations.
Yeah, I listen to it every morning.
Thank you.
Well, Rick, we appreciate you spending a couple minutes here with us and just sharing your personal insight on what it was like in Washington, D.C., because I think sometimes we get caught up in talking about 9/11 in New York City, rightfully so, but knowing that there were so many lives lost in Washington, D.C. that day, and it was just as much a ground zero as New York City was during that awful
day. And Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania, Shanksville.
So, yep, it was a terrible time, and I'm glad that our government stepped up to the plate and looked for the people, the perpetrators, and eventually we got them all.
Got them.
Rick, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.